In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The story of Mary of Egypt is an especially inspiring and very instructive story. It has to do with the actual reality of the spiritual life. For those who believe that the world as we find it around us in its broken condition is the real reality of things. And if you want to know how things are, you look at that and you take your cues from it. Whatever you need to do in order to succeed in that world, those are the fundamental realities. If that's how we understand things and we hear the story of Mary of Egypt, it would seem strange that somebody would say that this is a story about the fundamental realities of life, because there are a lot of unusual things that happen in that story. Most unusual of all probably is Mary herself, a woman who lived in Alexandria, Egypt, and for all of the early part of her life was one of the worst among sinners, loving sin and preferring it for itself, giving herself to others bodily, physically, lusting, having no concern for God. A complete wanton woman. She goes to the temple and she finds that she cannot enter the temple. And she prays to the Theotokos, the Mother of God, that she might be permitted to enter into the temple. She is permitted, she enters, she repents of her life, and then she goes and lives her repentance. She goes and lives her repentance out in the desert. She begins living the life that God has made it possible to live. That's something that we may not get at first from this story. The living of her life takes her beyond the limitations of this world, because living the life that God has given us makes it possible to do that, to turn the influence of death in our life into life by living a repentance from those things that we have confessed, those things that we have turned away from. That's the content of Mary's life in the desert. She is living a life of repentance that is at the same time her new life in Christ. She goes beyond the limitations of this broken life as we understand it, if we understand it from the point of view of the world. It is possible to live now with Christ being the life that enables us to do the things that we do. And we see unusual things in this story of Mary of Egypt. When she prays, she bodily rises from the earth. She is able to walk on the water, as Christ did. When she dies, a lion comes and helps to bury her. It's just a fairy tale, a pious story to emphasize how holy this woman is. Miss the point, if that's what we think. What is going on here is that Mary is living in the end time. Mary has gone beyond this life and is living the life we will live after Christ returns, the second coming of Christ, and the transformation of the heavens and the earth. It is possible to live that life now, and that is what Mary is doing. When Father Zosimus is with her, he is at the end time, because around her, that is the reality. And it is so because of her repentance. Her holiness cannot be separated from her repentance. That's the nature of repentance. We miss an understanding of the nature of repentance and forgiveness and the life that we are given because we have a way of misunderstanding sin and repentance that we have got to get rid of if we are going to actually live the lives that we converted to Orthodox Christianity in order to live. There are two special readings today for the Sunday during Lent of St. Mary of Egypt. And the first one is from Galatians, where Paul is telling the Galatians, all of you have been baptized into Christ, and your life is in Christ. Now there is no more Jew or Gentile, slave or free man, male or female. You are all one in Christ. He is talking about the royal priesthood of those who are faithful to Christ. It's called royal because a king rules. To be a royal priest is to be a priest that rules. Rules over what? Rules over sin. The royal priesthood of Christ places us in authority over our own sins and enables us to rule them. That's why it's a royal priesthood. Sin has no control. And with St. Mary of Egypt, we certainly have an excellent example of the fact that in this priesthood of all of the faithful, in the West, we usually call it the priesthood of believers. Unfortunately, we have a misunderstanding of the word belief, too. So we'll emphasize that it is the priesthood of those who are faithful to Christ, faithful to the new life that they have been baptized into. In this priesthood, there is neither male nor female. Christ recreates us. We might say, both male and female, he recreated them. And Mary is the one who goes and lives that life that we are recreated to live. The other reading that we read for the Sunday during Lent of Mary of Egypt is the reading from the Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus goes to the home of a Pharisee, and a woman like Mary, who has lived a life like Mary's, comes in and treats Jesus in a way that even his host has not treated him. Weeps, washes his feet with her tears, and with ointment she soothes them. And the man thinks to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman this is, and he would not permit this. And so Jesus gives him a way of understanding. If someone owed a certain amount of money and was forgiven that amount of money, but another man owed a great deal more and was forgiven that amount of money, which one would be more grateful? The one who had been forgiven the greatest amount of money. This woman, Jesus tells the man, has sinned greatly, but she loves greatly, and her gratitude is greater than someone who has just been forgiven a little. And here again, unfortunately, our legally based way, our court-based way of understanding intervenes and keeps us from understanding what Jesus is saying. Let's say we break the speed limit. They give you a ticket. You can send in the money. But if you go to court, sometimes the amount is reduced. Sometimes you even get off scot-free. And you could tell someone, well, I had a ticket, I had broken the law. Probably we wouldn't say that because we don't take it that seriously. And I went to court and, well, I got off without a fine. That's how we treat our salvation. It's how we think of it. When we come to confession, even though as Orthodox, we no longer believe that. We have become Orthodox. We know that that is not the nature of our relationship to God. But we understand it that way. Even so, when we come to confession, we confess the things that we have to confess. God forgives them, and we go. It's like going to court. God is the judge. He's God. I mean, whatever he says goes. If he says we're forgiven, we're forgiven. He had the authority. He did it. That's it. The slate is clean, and we go. Our gratitude is not that great. To have great gratitude would mean to repent really and truly, to go and sin no more, to be changed, to be willing to go and live the life of repentance that will change us. That's what happens with Mary. Let's look at it like this. There is a point during the story of Mary of Egypt where the priest Zosimus is coming to bring communion to Mary for the last time. And he needs to get across the Jordan. There's no boat. How's he going to get across? Suddenly there is Mary on the other side of the River Jordan. And he thinks, how is she going to get across? And she begins to walk to him across the water, just as Jesus walked across the water. Life is different for her. She is already, as God created us to be, more than anyone we've ever met. We are created to be like Christ. She has become like Christ more and more all of those years in the desert, and now she is able to do what Jesus had Peter do. But her confidence in Christ is such that she does not falter. Now Zosimus, the priest, seeing Mary walking across the water toward him, is just completely in awe. Even though he's a priest, and even though, remember, at the beginning of the story, how it starts out is that Zosimus feels that he has gone as far as he can go in spiritual life, and he just doesn't know what to do next. And he doesn't know who can teach him. And then he finds Mary. And that is the man, the priest, falling down on his knees in awe before this sight. And Mary stops in the midst of the river, and she says, "No, Father Zosimus, you are a priest and are holding the royal gifts." And he stands up and waits for her, gives her communion. The point here is that in this scene, we see all three of the priesthoods that are talked about in Scripture. First one in particular mentioned today, the high priesthood of Christ himself. He is there in the chalice. He is the gift. He is the one who accomplished what was necessary in order that we might be transformed, saved, in order that we might be restored to being the human beings that God created in the beginning. That's salvation. Not just going to a court and getting off the hook and going back to live the same life that we were living before. In Mary's case, it would be to Alexandria because, well, God has forgiven me. I didn't have to pay the fine. That's not why Jesus Christ died on the cross. Jesus Christ died on the cross in order to make it possible for us to be transformed and live at one with God the Father through him in the Holy Spirit. Now, we know those words, but here in the life of Mary of Egypt, we see the fulfillment of those words. The real presence of Christ is there in the chalice. He is the gift. He is what we could not have accomplished for ourselves. And the ordained priest is the one who is holding the gifts. The role of the priest, on behalf of the bishop, is to give us Christ, to present Christ to us, to teach us in words about Christ, and to present him in the chalice. But the whole point of Christ having died on the cross, destroyed death, made it possible for us to be transformed, which means being the human beings that he created us to be. The whole point of that is for us actually to be transformed. And there is the representative, Mary of Egypt, of the priesthood of the faithful. She is the one who is faithful. She has accomplished what Christ made it possible for us to accomplish. She has repented this life of terrible sin. And that very life of terrible sin, the repentance of that life has become the transformation and sanctification of her so that she is able to live a life through Christ fully in the Holy Spirit. And so all priesthoods are there. The high priesthood of Christ, the ordained priesthood, what Father Demetrios Stanilowi calls the serving priesthood, because that's what bishops and priests are. We are ordained to serve Christ. And where is Mary of Egypt in relationship to the ordained priest? The role of the priest is to give us Christ. The ordained priest, too, is a member of the priesthood of all the faithful. He thought he was doing pretty good along those lines until he met Mary. And so there's a great deal that we can learn about our calling as the faithful to Christ from looking at this story. We're not called to go and live in the desert. God does not expect every single one of us to pass through the repentance of this life, beyond life, to the end time, and live a revelation of the fact that it is possible to live in the end time in this world today. Some of the saints are able to be in more than one place at the same time as Christ was. They are living lives that are like the resurrected life of Christ. They are living lives where their bodies and minds and hearts have been transformed, and still they see themselves as the worst of sinners, because closer to God, you see things more clearly. You see the difference between yourself and God, and the distance you realize is much more vast than you had thought, even while it's making you holy. Now that is possible. All we are called to do is to begin to confess our sins and live a life of repentance from those particular sins, to begin to live that life of repentance. It's not a legalistic situation. It's a situation where Christ died in order that we might be changed, and we can only be changed if we realize how much we've been given. Christ himself, there in the chalice, so that we can have the kind of gratitude that St. Mary of Egypt did, so that we can have the kind of gratitude that the woman who came to Jesus did. Now, the Pharisee probably thinks it's a matter of, oh, well, you know, she was a terrific sinner, so she's been forgiven a lot. So on a legalistic basis, yes, I guess you're right, she'd be more grateful. But he's thinking in that worldly kind of way. It's not that way for the woman. She knows what she has been given in a way the Pharisee can't even imagine. Once we realize that it is possible for us to, on a daily basis, be transformed by confession, repentance, and living out that repentance, then we've begun to live life as Mary of Egypt did it. Even though we are not called to live in the desert, we are not called to eat the little bit that she did, which is another sign, incidentally, that she is living in the end time. How would that be possible? People with a worldly point of view would say, it must be a fairy tale. Well, it's possible because everything has changed for her. It's a revelation of the fact that it is possible to live in that end time. That has to be our point of reference. When we orient ourselves, we orient ourselves away from this world and toward living a life of repentance that will transform us. That's the message of St. Mary of Egypt for us here on this Sunday of Great Lent. In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Amen.